Sunday! Every Sunday, side by side at the microphone for the green light to the speed trap, Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Hear relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Come on, everybody. We're going to have a...
Come on, everybody!
We're going to have a good time here on Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show here on Long Island.
Long Island.
With your host, Ray Guarino, his co-host, wingman, mentor, and man at the con when I step aside, Joe D.
Yeah, just hold it up this side of the microphone.
We're just kicking out with some foot-stomping music today because that's just the kind of day it is, Joe.
Yes, definitely it's time for some stomping.
Oh, yeah. I would like
to get
play
the circulation back on my feet.
I would like to play Renegade for Rob's last caller who called, but it's a six-minute song, and
yeah.
I do have it in my phone, actually.
Of course you do.
Steppenwolf 7. Great choice.
Heck yeah. I mean, that would definitely be cool. However, you know, we also have some car stuff to talk about, too.
We certainly do. So, where do you want to kick this off? We got a lot of things to talk about. I think first let me say that people can get in touch with us. You can give us a call and get in on this at 516-572-7440. Check us out on the web, motormouthradio.com, Twitter, motormouthradio, and Joe's favorite, Instagram.
Real underscore,
motormouthradio. Yes. We're going to talk about, so that's, you follow us and like us, and we may follow you back and all that cool stuff.
And you could also see what we're up to, and you could make fun of us at will. You could call us out on it. You could do all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. And there is something I have to follow up on, because this week I did put a post up. You just asked me about it before.
Yeah.
We were working on the 70 GTO at the shop, Mike and I.
Oh, the car yoga.
Right, car yoga. That's a good thing. Rob Suck actually guessed that it was either a radio install, or when he saw the second picture that it was maybe a Speedo cable. Great guess.
Right.
But my question to you is, do you have a go-to position that you get into when you cram yourself under a dashboard?
Yeah, pointing to the young kid.
Well, I do. And what happened was, I was working on Mike's car. I was actually under the dash, head all the way up in the footwell. And, you know, now, of course, your low back is right across the sill, which is now great for your low back. But what happens to me when I'm in that position is my right hip, my sciatica starts to act up. So I happen to find, by working on my own car, if I lift my legs and put them on the open door, in an elevated position, the sciatica is relieved, and now I can concentrate on working. So I noticed Mike had took a picture of me, then he came around the other side, and he was taking another picture. I'm like, what are you doing? He says, oh, no, I figured you want to share this on Instagram. And I said, you're right, because our web guy had asked me a while ago, he goes, you mentioned that position you get in. Can you take a picture of it? I said, oh, yeah, sure.
Well, I'll just do it just for the heck of it.
No. The point is, while I'm crammed under there alone, I'm going to, reach my orangutan arm out and take... You can't do it when you're alone.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you need one of them little flying drone things.
Right.
Yeah, we got... Let's see, what is that? The upward-facing unicorn?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that would be one, dog, whatever. Yeah, but actually, all seriousness, what I do is I put, a cloth or something over the top of the seat.
Right.
And I put my foot my feet there.
Okay. Well, that's what I've done. If you notice, I put a cloth on a nice blanket thing over the door.
We're very considerate mechanics.
Well, I was concerned that the door could open too far and hit the lift post, and I didn't want it to do that.
Oh, heck no, not on that thing. No, it's a beautiful car.
You know, later on, Mike Fett was under the dash. He was, and I was working on the relay under the hood. He was under the dash, and I said, "Oh!" I came around, turned around, it was fair play, and I got a picture of him. His position of choice was with his feet up on the seat back.
Well, yeah, like me, yeah. Right. That's kind of that always worked for me because I was short.
Well, that's interesting because he's taller than both of us.
Right? Yeah. Well, he's kind of maybe draped over. You know, a lot of guys use the seat back thing. You know what I mean? Because I've gotten into cars that, sometimes I check something out and I see footprints on the ceiling.
Oh, jeez.
And then what you have to decide when you look at them.
Saturday night?
I was about to say, do they look like work boots?
Right.
Or do they have any
or
other
stilettos.
Shit?
Yeah. There's two holes in the headline.
Right. Yeah, see, our friends in the upholstery business probably like that.
Right.
But, let's face it, there are in any car. Whether it's an older vehicle from the 70s or even a new vehicle, you got to get under there.
That's
they
very
stick
true.
Stuff every place.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, the trunk. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've been working on a lot of, the older Caddies, they used to have this whole panel in the back of the back seat.
Yeah.
And it had, about 8 or 9 modules in there, and I'd be in there working. And of course, everybody thinks it's funny to close the trunk.
Of course.
On the, it's like, hey, look at this. You Italian guys should be used to this crap. And I'm like, no, that's only the dead Italian guys, you moron.
Yes.
So, but let's face it, you have to stick yourself in all kinds of ungodly places.
Very true. Very
under,
true.
Under the seat, they've got stuff under the seat.
Oh, true, true.
Cars with heated seats. For example, there was a Cadillac Escalade at one of my boys' places there that the seat heater actually drew so much amperage that it cooked the connector and it took out the data line, which GM, in their wisdom, put right next to this high amperage line.
Hmm.
And of course, when it smoked, it took the data line out, and now the whole friggin' truck don't talk to nobody.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah, so I mean, but you had to get under there.
Right.
You know what I mean? And sometimes pulling the seat out, because guys are like, hey, just pull the seat out. It says, do you realize how much crap is under there?
Yeah, it's not a 67 Chevelle.
Right. Not to mention, when you say crap, we're talking about the stuff that was installed at the factory. Not to mention other mm-hmm. stuff that may be back there, which mm-hmm. you really can't unsee once you see it.
Mm-hmm.
And what am I... Yeah,
you had that go-around last week, didn't you?
Yes, we did this past week. Yeah, let's put it this way. The hazmat team needed to be called.
Like,
and, the rubber suit...
Yeah, there was rubber involved, yeah. Latex, yeah.
Yeah, I would love to see when that module goes back to the rebuilder for a core.
Oh, jeez. What kind of glue got on this thing? Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, but what happens in a case like this is that you have to get into ungodly places.
Uh-huh.
And one of the reasons that I talk about that, too, is that a lot of times I'll try to find a place to check something in that you don't have to go under there.
Right. Another location, right.
Right. Because if you look at the diagram, you look, okay, this harness goes here, and then you could pick it up in a more accessible spot. And, sometimes it's in a trim panel. You could just pop off and, check continuity. You could check power. You could check ground. And if it's good there, it's got to be good under the under the vehicle, under the whatever thing is in your way.
Well, unless the wires broke.
Yeah, but, yes and no. I mean, if you've got... If you're checking a signal wire, mm-hmm. The signal coming out of the module,
mm-hmm.
If the wire was broke, it wouldn't be there. Power and ground, absolutely. I agree with you 110%. But
right.
A lot of times you do process of elimination with that other stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So the answer to the question was we weren't doing a speedo cable or a radio. What we were doing is hooking up a relay that was going to power the new electric choke and also will, in the future, power the HEI distributor.
Electric choke.
So we, on a quadrojet. Yeah,
I know. That's
didn't
cool.
Have it. Nice. Nice kit from Carb Junkies. If you check them out, carbjunkies.com, they have some cool stuff. And what we were doing is I was under there trying to find a suitable ignition source,
yeah.
Which I ended up doing twice. And then Mike, when he was under there, we decided to wire in a kill switch.
Right.
So I said, look, pick your spot and have at it. So we took turns, and that's what we were doing. But the point of the whole thing is, You can go to Instagram. It was only a couple days ago, 2 days ago, or I think it was. Yeah.
2 days ago. Yeah, man. I think it was 2 days. Yeah.
Go to our Instagram page, real_MotorMouthRadio, and you can find that. It also cross-linked on Twitter. And you know, if you want to get it from the website, which you can, don't forget you can subscribe to our weekly blog, and that tells you all the stuff we do during the week. It'll give you a synopsis of what we've done, so you just get the high points. And sometimes there's audio files and, you know, on there, and sometimes there's it's just written text. But the latest one we have was Determining the Life of Oil. How do the OEMs calculate oil life percentages? And we did just put one on from because now we're getting into winterizing season, Joe.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely coming on. It's like a freight train.
So just
sure.
Recently, the web guy and myself collaborated on a project where we took, actually, it was one of Bronk's phone calls where he was talking about winterizing.
Right.
And I basically filleted the heck out of it. I cut and diced so much.
This from a guy who lives in the desert.
Yeah. But that's what started it off. Like, if the guys in Nevada are winterizing their cars.
Right.
You know, so I'm going to roll that into another topic. I know I've said this to you. I've said it to listeners, too. I said the best way to winterize your car is drive it.
Exactly. Never put it to let it go to sleep there. You know, if you're going to put it to sleep, then you got to put it into the whole suspended animation thing, right. You know. But
and of course, if there's 2 feet, 3 feet of snow and it's slushy, don't take the car out. You know, if it's,
oh hell no.
You know that we know that. But other than that, yeah, if it's cool and dry, drive it. So what happened was this past week, just on Friday, Steve Linden, our good friend, author, and car appraiser, wrote a column in Newsday about just that, about winterizing, and he echoed that sentiment. So I wrote back to him and said, Steve, you're hitting on all cylinders with what Joe and I think.
Yeah.
Come back on the show, because we haven't had you in a while.
Here.
So Steve will be in next Sunday. He'll be our guest in the studio, and we're going to talk about that. And
always a fountain of information, that guy, that's for sure, on a variety of subjects, not the least of which is...
Exactly.
Yeah, because I'm sure he sees cars that have been in quote-unquote storage in all different states of conscientiousness or not. Like, some of them are just like, oh, look at this. I put a pool toy on it. Okay, it's winterized.
Right.
Yeah, you know, and there's other people who go through the whole mummification with the cover. Mm-hmm. And the,
or five or six covers.
Yes, and the jack stand and the thing in the tailpipe. And the,
well, that's what Bronk was talking about.
Yeah.
You know, now that's a question that I've always... pondered and talked about, and I've read what the experts have said. They talk about tires. Some people say raise the car, unload the suspension,
right?
But you want the tires to just be touching
just
the ground.
Just touch, yeah.
And I'm thinking, you know how hard that is to do without having a pneumatic jack stand?
Right.
You know, with that scissor lift, you could do it.
Yes, right.
But with the jack and jack stands, it's almost impossible.
Yeah, no, I mean, car, well, you know, I think it also depends, too, on the harshness of the environment that the car sits in, whether it's extreme cold, you know, mm-hmm. something like that.
Yeah, let's say winter. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, or maybe like outside or in a crappy garage. I mean, like some of us have, you know, some people have nice heated garages in, you know, relatively, you know, humidity and, mm-hmm. and being some for other factors. But, you know, you've got extreme cold, you know, temperature thing. Or you got some people that's like a shack.
Right.
You know what I mean? It might as well just be a car cover or just like that thing that you get, you know, for the car shows that it's four.
Yep.
You know, it's the tenth on four legs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But...
yeah, most of it. You know, the thing that I found more likely is the actual tires themselves. Bronk mentioned Repro Coker bias plies.
Right.
Bias plies were known to flat spot when they sat for like...
absolutely. That was one of their design deficiencies, if you will.
Where radials don't. But the original tires on my Impala, the BF Goodrich tires, the 250, 550, 17s, when they would sit for a little while, for a month or so, and I drive the car, they would
go whoppity whoppity whop. Yeah, there's quite a few cars that will do that.
But now the tires I have on my Pontiac don't do that, so it depends on the tire.
That's part of it.
Most times it works itself out in a mile or so of driving. It's no big deal.
Yeah, I'm a bigger fan of if you know that the car is going to be in suspended animation. I like to put them up. I like to unload the suspension till.
Yeah.
Because the other thing is that as these cars age, you ain't finding them suspension components so easy.
You know what the other thing is too, though? I always think of the both sides of a story. When the car is now up in that suspended animation, now it makes it harder to take the car out if it's a nice day.
Right.
Now you got to get the jack, take it off the jack stands, uncover, take it down, and then you got to put it back when you come back again.
Right.
So I say park it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, if you have the ability to get the car in and out easily, or your scheduling permits it, and,
yeah,
you know, it doesn't rain and snow every day for like 6 months at a time, you know. But
you know what I say? I say don't be paranoid about it.
Right. Just go with it.
Keyword.
Yes.
And let's take let's take a break on Motormouth Radio.
I know you too well.
Rig Warino, Joe D. We'll be back in a little bit. The 90.3 WHBC. Keep it where you got it.
Saturday Night Fever. Polyester Suits. The Brady Bunch. Bell Bottom Jeans. And the music of the 70s.
Knock three times on the ceiling if you want me.
Join me, Ron Stevens, on the radio, Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. for 2 hours of the decade of Elton John, the Eagles, and disco. The Super 70s, the 70s at 7, Saturday mornings on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Coming up at 12 o'clock today, Sunday, Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D, talking about cars. And like I said, you don't have to know anything about cars to enjoy the show. People watch cooking shows, don't know how to cook. People watch those home repair shows, they don't know how to fix anything. So Motormouth Radio is the same thing. Think about it that way.
Yeah, we're going to take you away here on Motormouth Radio.
Flashback.
Oh, big flashback. Ray Guarino, Joe D, 516-572-7440. Don't be paranoid. Give us a call. Check it out. We'll play nice. We'll entertain your automotive concerns and problems if you have any.
Yeah, well, we got problems. We know all about problems.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let's face it. Get those cars either put up. Or shut up.
There you go.
No, I think driving, like today would be a good day for a drive.
You know, yes. And I was going to take mine out again, but I got, like you, I got a little jammed up this morning, a little right. Behind the curve. And I was like, all right, you know what? And we're going to be going after dinner.
Life gets in the way.
Yeah, things happen. So, whatever. But I did get to get out last week and got to pick up my deck lid.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, Mike had reconditioned
it. Is it on now?
It is on. We put it on. That's the reason I took the car, so I could drive it back to the body shop.
Right.
And install the deck lid right there.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
drive-in bodywork.
Yeah,
what a concept!
What a concept!
Yeah,
yeah. The underside.
You want fries with that?
Right. The underside is now painted body color, which looks nice, and the outside is primed.
Yes.
And yeah, there's some alignment issues, but you know what? That's the stuff that the guys at the shop are going to have to deal with because that's what they do.
Yeah. Not to mention, you know, like American cars of like the 60s and 70s. Did not have like the panel alignment. Like sometimes we get spoiled, like the newest stuff.
Oh yeah.
You know, starting with the Jap cars. You know what I mean? They just had that right. Meanwhile, you know, the factory was like, it closes, cool, all right.
You know, they were playing around with it, Mike and his dad, and I said, we were looking at the gap, and I said, you going to roll a ball bearing down there? And I was like, I think a Honda commercial they did that.
Yeah, yeah.
They run ball bearings down the gaps. Like, no, cars weren't made like that.
No, definitely not. I mean, sometimes people, we get nostalgic for the good old days, but you know what? I am old enough to remember working in shops where you'd bring a car in 4 times a year.
Uh-huh.
You know, spring tune-up. Summer cooling service, winterizing.
Throw brakes in there.
Yeah, you know, and not, you know, oil changes, you know, depending on how much you drive the car.
Every 2,000 miles?
Right, you know, repack the wheel bearings. You know, people forget that got done on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if you took care of a car the way that they specified, I mean, that car was in the shop. Yeah, with nothing really, you know, we're not talking about something going wrong here.
Right.
We're just talking about, you know, in the shop, you'd be there like four or five times a year. Wheel bearing, let's see, belts, hoses,
sure.
You know, stuff like that. I see cars all the time that are like 15 years old, more that still have the original rubber items on. Maybe,
oh, absolutely.
With the exception of possibly the belt.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So we've come a long way.
Now, my Mazda, I just changed those drive belts for the first time.
Right.
You know,
that wasn't that long ago.
Hey, got a thing from Hey Matco Band, a good friend Brian,
right,
saying this thing takes all the fun out of under the dash work. Look at this, Joe.
Oh, cool.
It's like a little board with legs, I guess, to as a neck support. That's kind of like the creeper I bought years ago.
I seen Chuck Norris and Christy Brinkley on TV at like 6 in the morning with this.
I think that was for the abs. We're going to go to this flashy thing, the phone, and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, it's Tom from Massapequa. How you guys doing?
Hey.
Good, Tom. What's up?
Hey, I'm curious. I want to know what you think my next steps are on my 04 Cadillac Escalade with the intermittent hesitation unless I deactivate the stability control.
We did talk about that a few weeks ago, remember,
Joe? Right. Yeah, you came in right under the wire.
And since then, I've changed the steering angle sensor.
Right.
And still have the same issue.
Right.
I will say this, the condition now is a little more pronounced when it happens, and there's almost noise involved.
There's almost noise?
Yeah, like there's some sort of noise involved, you know, like some sort of something. My mechanic says he thinks that the stability control system or some system is trying to apply brakes or balance.
You couldn't imitate that for us, could you? Like, you know, was it the thump, 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 or was it like, or something like, or
nice.
You
know. Nice.
Come on, we want to hear that. No?
Okay, wait, I'm here, guys.
Say that one more time?
Guys.
Yeah, we was. I said you couldn't imitate that noise for us, could you?
No, I appreciate that.
Okay.
Nice, yeah.
Okay, well,
maybe you could get another caller after he pops his beer to try that one.
Right. Well, no, but actually, you're the guy that hears it, so it would only be right coming from you, Tom.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe I'll record it and send it to you, but you guys are the mechanics, so,
well,
you know, I'm just a driver.
Let me, okay, I understand.
You,
yeah,
you also have to realize how hard it is to do this over the phone with nothing in front of you to touch or feel or look at.
Yeah, we're just messing with you. Yeah. No, it sounds like traction control's kicking in. Matter of fact, I just was dealing with this on an Escalade, on an 02, 03 Escalade earlier in the week. That one actually has two problems, where it's got the service traction control light because it's got a bad pump for the ABS unit, and the light comes on, and you get a code for that. But meanwhile, what the owner of the car is concerned with is that when he accelerates at a certain point, you hear, I'll make the noise.
Nice.
And for about 3 seconds or so, you know, you lose power. That's kind of sort of you,
right? I
gotta
tell you. That's close to what I'm experiencing.
See, look at that. I have another career. I could be an automotive noise interpreter. Okay, actually, I've heard that noise a lot. That is probably the ABS pump kicking in. Okay, now, because we have more than 2 minutes, let me see if I can kind of make this quick. When you, especially on a vehicle equipped with stability control, when the vehicle does something stupid or the vehicle decides that you're doing something stupid, it will apply the brakes or disengage the brakes. In other words, it takes control away from you. And what that pump does is that makes hydraulic pressure to operate the various, you know, the brake drums or calipers in whatever sequence that it wants. In other words, you can put your foot on the brake pedal until the cows come home. You ain't doing nothing no more. Now the car's in control. All right, and what's happening is that it sees an excessive change in wheel speed. All right, from the different, you know, from the other three wheels, possibly. I just went through this with a Lexus there. Yeah, same shop. Okay. The tone ring had cracked.
Right.
Somebody had done a brake job.
Yeah,
and I just had this on. You know, cracked rings is getting to be a problem. It's a teeth thing. You should really become an automotive dentist. But what happened was that the wheel speed became very different on one of the wheels. And ABS always wants to have, or traction control always wants to have, equality amongst the tires, because because otherwise it figures that you're sliding, you're doing unauthorized burnouts, you know, for the poly correctivus. But what happens is at that point it's no you don't, and it kicks on that pump and it'll apply, you know, probably apply the brake to the wheel. mm-hmm. that it thinks is offending. So, what you should be doing, or what you, your mechanic should be doing, is number one, driving the car with a scanner. All right.
With his what?
With the scan tool.
Yeah, they did that.
Yeah, did they? Okay.
Yep.
Then why are we having this talk?
Yeah, he should be in the ABS section of the scanner.
First of all, this would not. There's a very good possibility that this does not set a code. All right.
No, it didn't. There's no code.
I understand that. That's why we needed this other Escalade or that Lexus, because the car thinks it's doing the right thing. So there's no code involved because it's just being misled because it's getting fed false information. What I do is I put the four wheel speeds, or in some cases, you know, usually four wheel speeds, on the scanner in what they call graphing mode. All right. Now you drive the car. Graphing mode. In other words, you could look on a scan tool that has the appropriate software, the appropriate abilities, you can actually watch the speeds of the wheels. All right? And then because the digits change so fast and the human eye is about a half a second behind reality, plus now you're about a half a second behind because of the scan tool's response
plus
time.
Plus you're driving.
Yeah, plus you're driving. This is, you know, some of us have just taped the scan tool to their right.
Yeah, no, it puts it up in the graphic representation
right,
of all four wheels.
The graphing mode allows you to blink.
It's like an EKG, but, you know, of each wheel
right.
is what you're looking at.
And you'll see one of the wheels should be will do something stupid at the time. Like, in other words, you'll be driving along and say 20 miles an hour. All of a sudden, one of them will say 30. Or it'll say 10. You know what I mean? It'll be a rapid, usually very brief change in speed for just a split second or two or three, and that's your bad guy. All right? Now, that could be a sensor. It could be, depending on the particular vehicle, since it's a GM truck, rust on the mounting point of the sensor could also do it. I had one guy one time that it would only do it when he came off of the Verrazano Bridge.
Wow.
Okay, and what
off of the brake, you're saying?
He would be coming off the Verrazano Bridge. You know that kind of corkscrew off ramp that they got?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And he would be making the turn, he'd be coming around, and the thing would start kicking, it would start kicking. I wasn't going to go to the Verrazano Bridge.
Right.
All right, but what we did was we went to someplace, you know, and what we did was we made some downward-facing driveways. It's like downward-facing dog.
There you go.
Another version of car yoga. And what would happen is when we turn the wheel to the right, What would happen is the ABS sensor would drop out momentarily. What we found was that the wheel bearing was loose
and the load of
the big friggin' truck on that wheel bearing moved it a few thousandths away.
That's
now it moved the tip of the sensor away from the teeth. The sensor says, "What?" And the computer just said, "Screw you."
But like you said, the computer did what it thought was right.
It saw
a sensor change and it reacted.
Exactly.
It's like when you induce an ignition fault to try and find.
Right.
You know, so Tom, you got to have the guy put it in graphing mode to look at the ABS sensors.
Right. You can't just look for codes because codes implies there's something wrong.
Yeah.
It's not what this is it's misinformed.
Right.
You know what I mean? So basically, yeah, what you need is most shops, you know, Snap-on, OTC, Autel, you know, most of the shop grade scan tools have this ability. It takes a little bit. It depends on whether the guy wants to sit there and crunch the numbers. You do have to take a test drive and take, you know, sometimes you have to have two people, one to drive and one to watch the scanner, you know, to hit the pause button, let's say. But it's doable. What you got to do is you got to find out which is the bad guy. It's almost always a front wheel. It's almost always. But
all right, Tom. So you take that information and go forward and let us know what you find. I think that's going to be your answer. And
well, thank you.
And for now, yeah, we're going to take another break. So stay tuned and keep us up on the progress.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
Please.
Let us know how it turns out. You got it, man.
All right,
I really
Tom.
Appreciate it, and I appreciate the sound noises as well.
All right, Tom. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
So long. All right, Joe, we're going to take another break. I got to mention, you know, today, stay tuned at 1 o'clock for Thunder Road, which is not your ordinary Springsteen show.
No.
It is, right, it's Kim Tracy. Join Kim as she plays anything written, produced, or performed by Bruce Springsteen.
Springsteen.
Jeez, thank you. Jeez, yeah. All members of the E Street Band.
Right.
And with that, you know...
I hear she put in for the job as Little Steven, but
yeah,
it didn't work out.
We're not leaving yet. We are getting closer to home. So
I love this.
I will be your captain this time and take us into the next break here at 90.3 WHPC.
Folks, I'm Mel Tillis, and you ain't gonna believe this.
Hi, this is Wanda Jackson.
Hi, this is Loretta Lynn.
Hi, neighbor. This is Charlie Louvin.
Hi, everybody. This is Bobby Bear.
Hello, everybody. This is Ronnie Millsap.
Hello, friends. This is Mike Wiseman.
Hi, this is Lynn Anderson.
Hello, friends. This is Jim Ed Brown.
Hi, friend. This is Charlie Pride.
Hi, folks. This is Ricky Skagg.
And this is Michael Anthony. Join me and my legendary friends as we travel down Old Country Road that Sunday evenings from 8 to 10. We'll pick you up at the next corner. Why don't you join us as we head down Old Country Road for miles and miles and miles right here on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College.
Wow, that's like crazy loud music. What are you listening to?
The best music on the radio. Come on, this is the Iron Age.
The what age?
The Iron Age, the show that brings you various types of heavy metal music from all over the spectrum.
Really? I've never heard of it. How do you know so much about it?
I'm the host.
Wait, if you're the host, how are you driving this car and on the radio at the same time?
Come on, don't ask so many questions. The Iron Age with me, Justin Sullivan, delivers the best variety of heavy metal music that you could ever ask for. Only on the Iron Age will you find music as ridiculously heavy as Meshuggah and Ocean, along with chill and relaxing tunes like Tool and Deftones.
Well, that sounds cool and all, but I think I'm just going to listen to something else.
Ooh, I think that's going to be a problem. I think you're going to have to find another ride then.
What?
Listen, call and tell us. See if you can help us, because I don't know if we're all alone either, and we could use the help, that's for darn sure.
You're our captain, Ray. You help us out.
Well, somebody better. On Motormouth Radio, your Long Island's only automotive talk show with Ray Guarino and Joe D, 516-572-7440. And, of course, the great sounds of Mark, Don, and Mel.
Grand Funk.
Yeah. This is a CD I picked up at that new record store in Limerick. It's a live CD from 1971. And I mean, they were
That's when they played Shea Stadium, right?
Yeah, they were in their heyday.
Yeah.
Actually, I think this song was done at Cobo Hall. But yeah, they were definitely yeah, and that's the thing. That, you know, just to divert a little bit, one of my favorite bands in the world, of course, and I'm always surprised that a lot of rock guys and DJs don't give them more credit or more credence, because they probably just don't know music, I guess.
Well, yeah, but you know what it is, too? It's like car guys sometimes, because you get car guys who, like, you know, we Chevys, Fords, Mopars, whatever, you know what I mean? And then you get the Euro guys.
Sure.
My BMW is better engineered than your truck, like, piece of crap.
Yeah.
Shit, you know, something like that. Like, I remember somebody one time, like, I was saying, nice Corvette. You know, we walking past the Corvette. He goes, things like a truck.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on. It's still, you know, it doesn't have monocoque suspension and fuel injection.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what?
Right.
Go find somebody named Helmet to friggin' fix your clock in your car.
You may be tickling a bone here, because I know our buddy Brian, hey, Matco Man's listening, and it's... Brian was a Porsche mechanic, so he's got... But he owns a Mustang. He's restoring a Mustang.
Right, right.
And the thing that... I was going to actually contact him, because those relays I was looking for... I know that anybody listening hasn't been party to this discussion.
You must have Bosch relays.
But Joe, well, I like Bosch relays, actually. But I know that in the Audis and the Porsches, they did use dual 87 terminal relays. So I was going to ask Brian if maybe he had some old part numbers stashed, or maybe some old relays stashed in that bottom drawer.
Yes, the famous diagnostic drawer of most mechanics, many mechanics.
I actually went into my brother's toolbox that I have at home. He was a Porsche Audi mechanic, and I did pull out a few relays. Some of these things, Joe, like this tall. They're like, you know, 3-4 inches. One of them's got a buzzer built into it.
Oh, the,
like,
the tachymetric and the timer type relays.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, Yeah, there was a meme on Facebook about the different types of suspension. Like, they had, like, the strut suspension, control arm suspension, and, yeah, which was basically a couple of lines intersecting them. And then they had German engineering with a bunch of curves and arrows and all kinds. You know,
and strudels.
If you're going to make it crazy, you talk to the Germans.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and please don't get me wrong, German car fans out there, I think I have a lot of respect for their engineering. You know, you drive these cars, they are incredible. But yeah, unless you have the appropriate indoctrination,
right,
and toolbox, you ain't doing the right thing with these cars. Yeah, you know what I mean? As a matter of fact, keep that in mind. If you own one of these Teutonic Wonder Wagons, you know, to the shop that you bring it at, or if you're going to approach it yourself, make sure that you are properly outfitted, yeah, you know, with information and tooling.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because otherwise, forget about it, you know?
You know, I want to mention, because someone's going to ask me about this creeper that Brian was talking about.
That thing is cool. They got one, too, for, like, over the top, when you're working on, like, big trucks, you kind of lay on it. Yeah,
oh, they got the steps, yeah. This one doesn't have a part number. It's a it's constructed of heavy-gauge steel and plywood, easily adjustable with spring pull pins. It's 40 by 15 inches. Well, the pad is 40 by 15 inches. I don't see a part number here, but if you go on Matco's website, I'm sure you can find it. Either that or Brian will send us a
yeah, you can share it on the Facebook page or something,
or he'll call and talk to us about it. We don't
know. Because let's face, especially there's some of us that, I mean, one of the reasons I am in this business is that I fit on the dashboards. When I was a skinny little kid and they found out that I could read and fit places, they used to stick me on the dashboards looking for electrical problems.
Yeah.
You know, because they found out I was not exactly a good hammer swinger. And, like, you know, they would watch me, like, do chin-ups on the half-inch breaker bar trying to take suspension stuff apart. And they're like, after they stopped laughing, they say, you going to finish that car today?
Yeah, yeah.
And then they found out that I fit places. But now I'm a fat little old guy that, you know, you can hear things popping and cracking every time I try to get into those positions. Stuff like that, the type of creeper thing, makes a big difference.
Oh, yeah. You know? Well, like I said, I had bought a creeper years ago for myself when I was restoring my car, because I was underneath it every day. And I found I was, on a regular creeper, I was piling, like, towels I'd roll up under my neck.
Right, right.
Because my neck was, you'd have your head up at, like, a 30-degree angle or 40-degree angle for, like, you know, 20 minutes. And you're like, oh, my God, it would start to hurt. So they make a creeper where the neck piece pops up.
Yeah.
It's actually adjustable. And now you just lay on it. It's like being in a dentist chair, I guess, without the drilling. You know? It was, well, sometimes there's drilling, but...
Yeah, yeah, hopefully it's not on you.
No, it's you doing the drilling to someone.
Yeah, you're the driller, not the drillee.
Right.
Yeah, let's say, yeah, and... a couple times, one of my customers, my buddy Andy, who I know is listening, he saw me like, I was working on his GTO.
GTO Andy, yeah.
Yeah, at the shop one time, and I was spending a lot of time under the dash. And he was just watching me, like, stand up every once in a while. I'd be like, yeah, because,
right,
like, my lower back would be over the sill plate, you know what I mean?
That's just kinda what I'm talking about.
So he brings me this pool toy.
Uh-huh.
I mean, but, well, yeah, it's like one of those rafty, floaty things with,
okay,
like a little pillow thingy on it. I still got it.
Okay.
He goes, yeah, try this. You know what? I felt so much. As a matter of fact, I still owe you a beer for that, Andy.
That's nice.
You know what I mean? Because I use that thing quite a bit. Because also, when you're working on a car that's got a big engine compartment, and you got to work on something at the back of the engine compartment, you put this underneath your belly.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So this way you don't have, like, all them tattoos.
You don't have, like, the air conditioning compressor embedded, like, you know.
Right, right. Keeps certain things from getting into your belly button. It's it's actually a very health-oriented thing. And Andy, thanks again if you're listening.
I guess this falls under Car Guy ergonomics. You know, maybe we got a new thing going here, because there's definitely stuff that we do, like we've just described, on how you make that job easier and more comfortable. Because let's face it, when we were 20, everything, it didn't matter. You do whatever the hell you wanted. You became a pretzel, and then you just unpretzelized yourself, and then you did something else. But
yeah, like yesterday, I was working on this on the Facebook page. I didn't get it on the Instagram yet. What part of a bad ground don't you understand?
Right.
And because we had a car tied up on the lift, I just had to slide under it to look for stuff. It was a trailblazer, so it had some fairly decent ground clearance. But, you know, once I kind of wedged myself in there, unwedging myself out of there.
Extrication.
Yes, and the boys came over to me and go, Do you want a crane?
I'm going to call SEAL Team 6.
Yeah, right. Would you like us to go get the crane from that construction site down the block and pull you up? I says, yeah. You can park it right next to the tow truck. It pulls my head out of my...
the Komatsu. We'll get the... yeah. Well, let's do this. Let's go to the phone. Go to the phone, say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, guys. It's Hey, Matco Man.
Hey, Matco Man. What's happening,
hey,
Brian?
Hey, Matco, dude.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How y'all doing today?
Not bad. We're talking about hurting ourselves in various positions.
Yeah.
Well, we're trying to make it easy for you. Just lay out now and take a nap under the dash.
Oh, hell yeah. Brian, do you have you have a part number for that creeper?
That part number, there's actually two different ones. That one that I sent you was a UTD. Is the part number, and it goes for about 165.
Okay.
And there's another one that's a MICC. And that one has a little tray on the side of it.
Okay.
So, and that's basically around 165 also, actually, okay. 175.
We had a request. Can you share that the link to that on our Facebook page?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, this way people can see what we were talking about, because it's always good to have a visual. And
no problem. I'll share that out. And I sent you, or you saw on my Instagram, we had back in stock some double U-jointed locking extensions.
Oh yes, I saw that. Yeah,
you saw them, yeah.
Well, I saw that you mentioned it. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure. They're chrome, so they're not supposed to be used with air tools, but I'm sure I'll see a few guys with some busted knuckles.
Oh, yeah.
Spin those things around.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me ask you this. With those, I don't understand the actual, the whole concept behind it. Because now if you have this, there's two joints that could lock. So now you could make something like almost like an extended Z shape out of your extension. But now you can't turn it like 360 degrees, so... I'm kind of stuck on, and again, I've never used them. So please, you know, tell us what the deal is there.
Well, like I said, you could pinch them off, make them too sharp of a turn.
Mm-hmm.
But ideally, it's for getting around the corner a little bit or dig down, like for the 3/8 doing spark plugs on the back of the motor on the inline, on a 6-cylinder sideways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you can get that slight little curve. And they're, like I said, roughly 6 to 8 inches long. The half inch is a little long. It's a foot long. It's a little big. That's like a steering shaft.
Right,
I guess if you break down in the middle of the road and need a steering shaft, you got one. But
that's what I was thinking. Yeah. So what's the deal on the set of those?
Those things are basically $35 for a quarter inch drive. $40 for the $42 for 3/8, and the half inch is like $70.
So they don't come in a kit of a set of three.
No,
they
don't come in a kit of three. They're just individually priced out. Individually out.
If you could share that on a page too, that'd be great, because now people can see what we're talking about. The thing that I think you see, I always like. Having the set. I like having that little plastic tray with the,
with the set.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of like when they're all together and they live in the same environment instead of just being...
That's a lot of guys have already asked. And how most things go, this will probably come out as individuals. And then about 6 months down the road,
they'll come out in a
set type thing.
Well,
it usually goes that way.
I guess it depends what you're using them on, too, because, like me, I'm more of a quarter-inch, maybe a 3/8 guy. The half-inch, I probably wouldn't use a hell of a lot. And on the other hand, there are some guys who spend more time underneath the hood, or suspension, that would probably go more the 3/8 to the half.
And I'll tell you something. I was just ready to pull the trigger, tell you to send me the quarter and the 3/8, because I don't know if I use the half that much. But I think I'm going to wait for the set. And when the set comes out...
Well, like I said, I don't have any choice, but most time it works that way.
Right.
We'll give it a shot and see what happens.
Yeah.
If not, we can go with the two.
Well, keep us informed on that, because then we'll... listen, we love to share our experiences with fixing cars and our experiences with tools that work, because let's face it, to fix a car, you got to have tools. So, that's...
And if I can make it easier... That's a lot easier, and then you don't lose your hair. Pulling it out.
Thanks. You know what, Brian? I tell you what I want to do. We're going to take our last break. I want to keep you on if you'll stay with us, because then we want to come back and talk about some of those German relays.
No problem. I'm got the day free.
Excellent. And now, Joe, not knowing, I never met Brian in person. I've seen him on Thursday night on the Play in Traffic show all the time. Done business with him. Joe, Brian, I don't know if you like the reference to that. You kind of, when you grow your beard, you kind of look like either Rob Leonard or Jerry Garcia, which is cool. We like that. And of course, we don't know what your other proclivities are, but we're going to dedicate this song to you because it's one of my favorites. It's going out to you here on Motormouth Radio. We'll be back with more of this fun in a few minutes. Keep it where you got it on 90.3 WHPC.
I'd like to dedicate this next number. No, really. Want to play this one for all the people that are in Washington for you and me today. I'd like to also dedicate this song to everybody out there that smokes marijuana. I'm here lonely like a broken man.
Every sound, every note, including the bass, on this track is played by a monkey.
American Hit Radio, Wednesdays and Fridays at 5 p.m. on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Please stay tuned for Motormouth Radio on Sundays at 12 noon, every Sunday, exclusively on WHPC. Join the Motormouths, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Features, information, guest interviews, tech tips, and all your call-in questions on all topics relating to automobiles. And these guys know their stuff. In case you haven't heard this show, not only is it very informative, it is hilarious at times. A lot of call-ins and a lot of crazy people calling in with problems with their cars. And okay, Joe and Ray offering their expert opinion on these things and doing it in a somewhat comical fashion.
Oh, yeah, we're feeling good. That was Mr. Steve K giving us a great little impromptu promo on his last Monday night's...
Very kind of him.
...Revelation show. So, Brian, we still got you with us on Motormouth Radio.
We didn't scare you off, did we?
No, we're still here.
Good.
There's a lot more than that, trust me.
Excellent. So, listen, you might have heard Joe and I speaking before the break about relays, and I'm looking for a relay with a dual 87 terminal to switch two sources, two loads at once. And I know that the Porsche and Audi crew used to use those as a matter of course back in the day. Is that something you have a remembrance of?
Yes. I got a few of them laying around, just like Joe says, in that bottom drawer of the old toolbox. There's a box full. You know, you always need it to test.
Nice. You know, I've been trying to put together part numbers for stuff like this because I have to, you know, I want to buy these. I want to buy a couple of them. I know Bosch made a few and Hella, the lighting company, they had done a few.
Right.
So maybe, I don't know, one day when you're in a bottom box, if you grab a few of them out, just snap a picture of it so I could read it and just send it to me. And this way I'll have another part number because, you know, part information's key. That's got to be in your arsenal. So,
right.
You know, and then I can search for those too at my local parts store. That'd be great.
That's not a problem. I can take a look at that and send you some dirty pictures.
Oh, very. And a bottom drawer of the toolbox, which is always a good a dirty spot. Yeah,
that's
a dirty spot,
favorites.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But bails you out of a lot of things, I'll bet.
Yeah. You know what?
So what are you hooking up, Ray?
Well, what I was doing on the on Mike's 70 GTO, I'm doing two projects, not at the same time, because you don't want to change two things at the same time. So I was converting the car from a 450 Holley EconoMaster carburetor back to the standard Quadrajet. And in doing that, he found a company, Carb Junkies, that sells an electric choke conversion for the Quadrajet. So you have to power that with an ignition, you know, ignition key
on power.
Right? So the next step is I'm going to install an HEI distributor in that car, which also needs a key on power, you know, from I like to use a relay. I like to use a relay to do that, because then you could also use the negative side of that relay. You can interrupt that as a kill switch. So that's what I like to do. So I needed a relay with...
You're always scheming.
I did it on my own car. You know what? It worked. So I need 287 terminals because you want to switch two sources with power.
Now tell them about the flux capacitor.
We keep that a secret. Yeah, so that's the project for this week. But, you know, you never know. There's relays. That's the thing. It's been... People look at it like dark science, and it's really not. Yeah, exactly. Well, being Halloween and all.
Yeah, so, right.
So that's the current project.
Yeah, so, relays scare people. They really don't.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because you can switch power, you can switch ground, you could have relays trigger other relays, you can do all sorts of crazy things.
Yeah, I've seen that in a Jaguar. I mean, wiring diagram for a Jaguar, it's the relay. I was like, what?
Oh, jeez.
What?
Plug a relay on top of a relay, yes.
Yeah, that has this relay operating another relay for some ungodly reason, which I have no idea. It's something like I have Newton, all that crap there. Yeah.
So, well, Brian, let me ask you a question. With your Mustang, when you get down to it, I know I'll give you an example. On my own older cars, I wired in headlight relays so that, because there's a big voltage drop at the headlights on older cars, and the power is actually pulled through the headlight switch on a GM, and that smokes the switch, smokes the wiring after years. So by using a relay, you can eliminate all that. Plus, you have brighter lights because you have less voltage drop. The question to you is, do you plan on doing that, or have you thought about that for your own Mustang project?
Yeah, I did that back in the day when I used to drive it every day. I had, of course, I also had aviation. I had headlights from an airplane behind the grill.
Cool.
Oh, don't you love car guys?
Yeah.
And they were yellow.
Wow.
They were yellow, so when it was quite foggy out, that's what I had behind the grill.
Nice.
Oh, so you used to literally burn the fog off as you drove.
Yeah.
There you go.
It used to turn the Montgomery County police cars that were white pea yellow.
Oh, jeez.
So,
nice.
You had to watch out. They didn't
How
like
complimentary.
That too much.
Yeah. Yeah, just slip in the Grand Funk 8-track while you're doing that, and you got a great day going. That's very cool. That is cool.
Well, let's face it. Yeah, the relays would be a wise move, and yeah, something as powerful as those, you ain't running that through some wimpy little switch.
Yeah.
Again,
that's what people don't get. All the current gets pulled through each component, be it the switch and like the GM headlight switches. You know, and why put that through that? I mean, the relay, basically I tell people, and it, just to simplify it, a relay is a device that takes a small current and switches a larger current. It's kind of like the intermediary, like the guy taking the hit because the contacts can withstand that. And, you know, but hey, the guys that get it, the ones that don't, and that's why they have guys like us.
And then the guys that don't get it are always on fire.
Yeah, there you go.
There's always smoke coming from their car. So,
sell them a fire extinguisher. You
know. Yeah, let the smoke out. Yeah,
exactly. So what else is new in the world of Matco this week? Anything happen?
Not much. Just we're gearing down and getting ready again. You know, like I said, just. We got our big convention coming up in a couple of months, so they usually kind of quiet things off so that in February when we go to our tool show, we have a whole bunch of new stuff. And other than our new scanner, or upgraded in our scanner,
ooh,
that's really the big news right now.
What's that?
So that's about it.
Which unit is that now, Brian?
That's the Maximus 3.0.
Yeah.
Launch makes it for us, and that's ours exclusive. And I guess really the biggest part of it now, it has its own version of, I guess, is like a Dentifix or ShopKey built into the scanner.
Oh, great.
So you have all that information with you. So no more two computers or running back and forth.
Yeah, that could be a pain in the butt. You integrate it into one platform, because there are plenty of times where I have a laptop on the seat next to me, and then I have a scan tool in my lap, or vice versa. It gets to be a pain, but if I can flip back and forth from them, that's not bad. And Launch makes some pretty. That's basically a launch type platform.
Yeah, it's a launch platform to our specs, so it's. There's some stuff very similar out there with the launch, but
right.
We have our own stuff built into it.
Nice.
That's good to know.
We have one of the biggest things now is a health report. And so insurance companies love it because when your car comes in, you can run a health report and it tells you everything wrong right from the get-go.
Oh, cool.
It prints it all out. And that way, cause, you know, these insurance companies get beat up because the guy comes and picks his car up and says, oh, this light wasn't on when it came in.
Oh, even so the guy goes, Everett sends you. Yes.
Computerized P-test.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wow, I love it.
And this way, they can say, well, it was on and you didn't want to address it, or, you know, you can address it, but we're not paying because these insurance companies, especially body shops, but they eat it. And, of course, it, our scanner is like a big iPhone. You know, it's like an Android base.
Yeah,
so
I see
you can email the stuff to the customer. You can, you know, keep files, and it's all right there. So it's a big difference from the red brick. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Well, that, yeah, this thing is light. I'm looking at it online right now. That's, yeah, it looks, it's, looks very launchish. And, yeah, let's face it, you need with a tablet, you know, it's going to drop. It's going stuff's going to happen to it. So you want to have it, you know, you want to have it toughened up just a little bit.
Yeah, like, what was the name of the book all the construction guys use? It's a
tough book, Panasonic Tough. As a matter of fact, right. a lot of the guys that do programming and whatnot, they run their, they run their stuff on tough books. And this is the same thing. You got, what's the word they use? Ruggedized.
There you go.
Yeah, they have to be ruggedized. Yeah. But that's pretty cool. And Launch makes some pretty, it's a pretty good operating system.
Right. Brian, where is your convention? Is it, are you at liberty to say that? What state is it in?
This year, it's going to be Vegas. It's going to be in Vegas this
year. So you get to miss SEMA, but you get there afterwards.
Yeah.
Oh, you could have hooked up with Lou and all the guys that we talked to on Thursday night. You could have been hanging with them. Oh, geez.
I know. Well, I'm always a day late or a dollar short. So.
Yeah, we know that feeling.
Yeah, well, at least you get to go for work, so that's cool. Now, what happens with, how long is the convention for? How long will you be there for?
Well, the convention is usually like a 4-day event. And sometimes we'll stay, me and the missus will stay for the whole week.
Okay.
And then spend a couple days sightseeing and just trying to relax.
So what happens, do you have coverage for your tool route when you go out there?
Unfortunately, no.
No, because all the guys are there. I'll come. Joe and I will come down and run the truck for you. Why not?
That would be awesome.
Because it's the same thing. You know, the Snap-on guy we see at the shop, he went to their convention just, I guess, last month. And, yeah, we didn't see him for like 2 weeks.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that sucks because now you lose potential business. And a guy, I mean, let's face it, a lot of guys, we all just kind of shop because, ooh, shiny, I want that. You know, it's cool.
Right.
Oh, nice. But
now,
sometimes you legitimately need a tool.
So the biggest savior in this over the years, we have automatic pay. So 90% of my guys are set up on automatic pay.
Mm-hmm.
So the computer does it all in that magical moment at 3 a.m. when all the money's floating around in the world.
Oh, yes.
And the payments are done. They send them a receipt, and I never see it.
Oh, that's good for you because they get to pay the tool guy. But, yeah, they don't get to,
right.
They just don't get to make the new purchases. All right. Well, that's cool. That's nice. And, of course, they do that right during the middle of the school season. Well, no, maybe I don't know. Maybe in next month.
School's still going on.
Okay. So, yeah, if you have kids in school, you have to worry about now getting someone to watch your kids. And, unbelievable.
Yep.
Well, all right. Well, whatever. Hey, it is what it is. You know, it's the profession you chose.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's the life.
It's not a profession. It's a lifestyle.
A lifestyle, right.
I like it. That's the way you do it.
You guys got to get vests with 3 rocker patches on the back. Then we'll know it's a lifestyle. Yeah. Instead of MC, it'll be TC for Tool Club. You know? That'd be cool.
Yeah.
We can make up all sorts of crazy stuff here. All right, Brian. Well, we got to run. We got to get going. We're at the end of our time here, and we thank you for calling. And please post that stuff on the Facebook page so that we
can. Thanks for cluing us in.
Share it with our viewers and listeners, and hopefully we'll generate some sales for you.
No problem, and I'll talk to you guys later. Y'all have a good week.
Thanks,
okay, Brian.
You too.
Thanks.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
So long. All right, Joe, we are almost out of time here.
Yeah, we burned another hour. Look at that.
And Kim isn't here. No one's coming in to start her show, so I don't know what's going to happen. We're going to play a Springsteen song, I guess.
Yeah.
And we will be back next week because we're going to have Mr. Steve Linden in the studio with us.
Yes, that's always good when he comes in. He's very informative on all kinds of subjects. He's been around.
So let's get out of here. We're gonna basically tone ourselves down and get out of here. Maybe you can run out and grab either Michael Anthony or Rob and have them say, "Hey, who's running Kim's show?"
You got it. I'm on it.
Thanks. For Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D. We'll see you next week.
WHPC.
Got it. Bye.